We're recording. It's 2 p.m. on Wednesday. The calendar date is May 8th. On this tape, you'll hear the stories of June Vira. Keith Sweet is the interviewer. You'll hear me speaking occasionally. We are taping this interview at the Jackson Family Home. June, thank you for participating in our project. We appreciate your willingness to preserve our county's history by sharing your memories. This conversation is being tape recorded, and the tapes will be made available to the public without charge. If you share something during the next hour or so that you regret saying on tape, we'll make every effort to remove it before publication. And we remove that section from it, so it's, you know, no one hears all that. So, let's begin. You were born and raised in Amador County.
Yes, I was born in Ione at the what is known now as the Winterport Farm. Your father was part of the Winter family.
And his name, full name?
Ellard Winter.
And when did he move to the county, or how is his family associated with the county? How far back?
Our Winter family came from Germany in 1867 and settled in Ione Valley.
On what is now the Winterport Farm?
On the Winterport Farm.
Okay, so you were raised on that farm?
I was actually raised in Ione.
In Ione, okay. Now, the Winterport Farm is on which road?
On.
But it's just outside of Ione.
Yes.
Right.
Highway 124, I believe.
Mm-hmm. But your family home was not the farm. It was not the Winterport Farm.
When I was about 3 years old, we moved to Ione, and at that time, my father bought and operated a grocery store, which now is Clark's Corner in Ione.
Okay. And how long did when did they start the store, and when did they leave the store?
I would say about 1932. He purchased the store and sold it in 1946.
What did he sell? Was it a general store or specific?
Grocery store.
A grocery store.
And a meat market.
Did you ever work there?
Oh, yes. I did. I stocked a lot of shelves. I waited on customers. When I was 16 and was able to drive, I delivered groceries. In those days, people would phone in their order. Grocery order, and we would fill the order, and then at 3:30 in the afternoon when school was out, I would very happily get to deliver the groceries. It was a fun time for me.
Now, was there a limit as to where, I mean, people wouldn't call from Jackson or?
Oh, no. Yeah. It was just local around town in Ione.
Now, did your dad maintain an account so people would come in once a month and pay, or did you collect?
Some people did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most of it was cash when you delivered, but some people would charge. In those days, during the Depression, times were tough.
When he sold the store, then what? Then he retired? Was he old enough to retire, or did he go into something else?
He went into the car business and became a car dealer.
In Ione?
In Sacramento.
So they commuted back and forth, but still lived in Ione?
Basically, my folks moved to Sacramento.
Okay.
And my father had several different car agencies through the years. Ended up with Winter, Volvo, Lincoln, Mercury, which our sons took over.
All right. And And do they still, are they still involved with that?
No.
Okay.
No.
The so you were 16 and you were working in the store. And how old were you when you stopped working in the store then?
Well, when I graduated from high school,
okay.
He sold the store, and I went off to college.
And where did you go?
San Jose State.
Okay, now the San Jose State, I know your husband went to San Jose State. Did you know each other then or before?
I did not know him when I started at San Jose, but Fran grew up in Dry Town and I grew up in Ione, and we met in the county, and then eventually he came to San Jose State also.
How would you describe Ione at the time you were growing up? Would you consider it primarily an ag town, or was it primarily a company town? Company meaning Preston facility. It seems like there were a lot of people who lived in Ione that worked in that facility.
True. Actually, it was both. It was very much a little small agricultural town, and local people worked at Preston.
One of our other interviewees suggested that there were more people that worked at Preston than there were that, you know, in terms of high school when he was going to school, there were more children of Preston people than there were children of ag people. How would that be when you were growing up?
That's probably true because there were small country schools, and not all of the children attended school in Ione, but I would say most of the children that were in school were, maybe they were both. They were both.
Today it's Ione Elementary and Ione Junior High. Back then it was, you mentioned, there were country schools. Do you recall how many and where they might have been located and how large and which
well,
one did you go to?
There was like the Union School out where on the other side of Mule Creek Prison, there was a little country school. There was Jackson Valley. Out, right now it would be at the end of Brubeck Road.
Okay.
And
these were typically one-room
schools? Buena Vista School, one-room schools. And they would have maybe 15 to 25 children.
And at that time, they were probably
grade one to eight, each
their own school district, right? Or were they part of Ione, do you recall?
I think they were their own district because they were not unified school districts.
Right. Now, did unification come when Fran, your husband that we're going to be talking about, also did that come under when he was the superintendent, or did that come before then?
Are you talking about
the Ione
community?
Yeah, I'm talking about the Ione elementary schools coming into being a unified.
Well, we had unification in 1983. We unified. But before that, Jackson, we had Jackson Union High School, and then we had Clinton, There was a school at Clinton. There was an elementary school, Aetna. And those were individual districts. And then they unified with Jackson. And we became Jackson Unified School District.
Did that happen
that
at one
Hope
time?
Was,
I mean, they
that happened maybe in the early 60s. Then we had county unification in 1983. See, that we one time we had all these one-room schools throughout the county.
How big was Ione Elementary, which is where you went, right? Where you went.
Gosh.
How many rooms?
Oh, there were 8 grades.
Okay.
Yeah, all 8 grades.
And each grade had a room?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Who was your favorite teacher?
They were all very good teachers, very dedicated and committed. Yeah.
So then you went from Ione Elementary to which went to the
Ione High School
to Ione High School,
mm-hmm.
And that wasn't very large at that time either.
Very small. Very small. And then World War II came along, and we became smaller because many of the boys went into the service.
I mean, they left school to go into the service?
Mm-hmm. Some of them did. When they were juniors, they did not finish their senior year. They went to war.
How many were in your senior class?
My senior class was very small. There were 9 of us. Mm-hmm.
And you remember how many that were girls and how many were boys?
5 girls and 4 boys.
And some of those 4 boys actually didn't graduate, or because they went into the service?
Well, there were others in the class who had gone into the service
earlier.
Yeah.
With only 9 students, mm-hmm, in a senior class, what kind of activities did you engage in school that obviously is considerably different than what a student would be today? When you went to school, what were you looking forward to when you went to school?
I don't know. You just went to school every day and did your thing. There was a football team. There was a basketball team. Tennis.
Cheerleaders?
Cheerleaders. Mm-hmm.
And what did you...
There were not many girls. There were sports for girls, really, in those days. We're not...
Yeah, that Title IX kind of brought about a number of those opportunities for
surely
girls
did
in school. So what is it that you did do in school? What activities did you participate in that were available to girls?
Tennis. Mm-hmm.
Now... Your family had a store. Part of your family was still on the ranch, still had a ranch?
Yes. My cousins lived on the ranch and still do.
But you considered yourself a town girl?
Oh, yes. We lived in town. Mm-hmm.
So how has Ione changed? When you walk down Main Street now in Ione or drive down Main Street, what do you think of?
It is modernized. As I remember, there were even some buildings that still had iron doors on them, brick buildings, iron doors. Where the post office is, you can tell the circular entryway was a livery stable at one time. And businesses closed. Example, the post office closed from 12 to 1 for lunch hour. And every business closed and observed Good Friday. It was...
And everybody knew the police chief. All the,
oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Volunteer fire department. If there was a fire, all the proprietors, the men, left their businesses and went to fight the fire.
Did it seem like everybody participated as a volunteer fire person on, or fireman? Or?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
There was only one fire station, though, right?
Oh, yes.
Now, where was your, what street was your family home on? What was the address when you were growing up?
Preston Avenue.
Okay. Is that home still there?
Where the Ion Pharmacy and the Ion supermarket is.
Right.
That was my horse pasture.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So even though you were a city girl, you had horses?
Oh, yes.
Or a horse, or horses. How many?
Only had one.
Mm-hmm. So there was a barn on that property as well then?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So actually, downtown Ione was much smaller than it is at the moment. That would be safe to say, because obviously where you were was a pasture.
So. Right. Main Street or all of Ione was on Main Street, one street. But the buildings basically are all the same.
Still the same. And when you drive by Clark's Corner, does the thought occur to you that we owned that building, or we had a business there? Or
I love to go in there and reminisce.
It's changed considerably, I'm sure.
It has. But I have fond memories of that.
So you went off to San Jose State, and then you came back to, major in when you went to
education.
Okay, so you were planning on becoming a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then you returned back.
In those days, girls either became a teacher or a nurse or a secretary. Basically, that's what women did.
And you chose to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't start teaching after you graduated.
After I graduated.
You did or you did not start teaching?
Oh, I did not start teaching then. Well, I did. I have to retract that. I taught 1 year in San Jose, in Saratoga. And then, of course, I married my darling. And we moved to Jackson.
So you met Fran at San Jose State again, or?
I met him in Amador County.
Okay, mm-hmm. But you were teaching in Saratoga, and he was in Amador County.
No, not really. He was at. Going to school at Cal Poly, and I was at San Jose State, but we met before that in Amador County. I did not know him before the war, World War II.
So did Fran graduate from San Jose State or from Cal Poly?
From San Jose State.
Okay. And he majored in education as well?
Yes. All right.
So it was about, 1951, I think, as I remember.
1950, we married. In 51, we moved to Jackson.
And he took a job.
He had one more year of school.
And then he took a job teaching at Jackson High School.
Jackson High School, yes.
And you did not teach up here at the time.
I substituted.
You remember what you got paid as a substitute teacher?
Oh my gosh, not very much, but no. You didn't make very much money being a teacher.
No, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Just as an aside, I became a teacher in 1964 and back in Michigan. And at that time, I got $4,700 a year was my salary at 1964. So in 1951, it had to be a little bit less.
If I remember correctly, I think it was $3,600. Yeah, I signed a contract for $3,600.
So Fran had been in the Marines with distinguished service and during World War II. You got married and you moved back to Jackson, which wasn't neither one of yours hometown. So did you live, and you lived in Jackson or when you moved back up here? Mm-hmm. I know the home we're sitting in, you said, is you built from scratch and have been here for a number of years. But
I have to say one thing about the Marine Corps. He made first day invasion on Okinawa, Easter Sunday, 1945.
And his
he was in the Marine Corps 4 years.
And he was involved with doing what in the Marines? When he landed on Okinawa, what was his
He
task?
Was with a special group, an air warning group. And at that time, radar was very new. And this air warning squadron would watch for the Japanese planes coming in at night to attack.
In his unit, how many you recall, any statistics at all about how many in his unit when landed on Okinawa that didn't leave Okinawa?
Well, I don't know. But I think his squadron was maybe about 300, 350. They were very specialized.
But he'd seen action before that in several other places.
Oh, yes.
Many people of World War II vintage never talked about their experiences. Was that...
Never spoke about it. And after 25 years, his squadron started to have reunions. And it was interesting. The men would gather in their little groups and only talk about the funny things that happened, funny things they did, crazy things they did, but never about actual battles or...
Too
things they faced.
Too painful.
Yes. Yeah. Never talked about it.
Fran comes back and he begins teaching industrial arts and mathematics. And you're doing what at that time? Besides substitute teaching, anything?
Raising the children.
Okay.
We started our family.
Uh-huh. And you have... Three children?
Three children.
And their names are?
Dale, the oldest, Jim, and Karen.
And Fran had a big family. How big was yours?
I have one sister. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're in Fran's family. They grew up in Drytown. And there were eight children. and his family. And he was number four.
One can assume, maybe rightly, maybe wrongly, that they must have lived out Vira Ranch Road.
Yes.
And I
name for his family.
I read somewhere that there was more than one family ranch at some point in time. There was a family ranch out Vira Ranch Road, and it basically raised cattle, grew grapes. What was done on that ranch?
Cattle, chickens. Everybody had chickens, and they had a few pigs.
Now, while Fran was in education and you were raising your family, you had did you have any responsibility for that ranch or other family members ran that?
No. His parents lived there, and then one of his brothers became quite active on the ranch.
Now, was there another ranch that the family owned in Plymouth or?
In Ione on Irish Hill Road, there was another ranch. No homes on it, just for grazing.
And what happened to those properties?
Well, subsequently, Fran and one of his brothers, after the parents passed, they bought the ranch out from the other brothers.
And this is still while Fran is in education, or is this after he retired?
Just before he retired, about 3 or 4 years before he retired, we bought the other brothers out.
So what's happening with the family Vira Ranch Road properties now? Sold? Or?
No. One of our nieces lives on it. She and her husband have built a home there.
And their name?
Chafee. Dennis and Judy Chafee.
In my family back in Michigan, we, in a similar kind of time frame, had a lot of family reunions. Was that pretty common in your family, particularly with seven or eight brothers on one side?
We do. Every year we have a Vira reunion, and usually it's in Ione, and every 5 or 6 years we have a winter reunion, which is usually at the Methodist Church in Ione, which our family helped build.
Helped build in
the church.
The Methodist Church?
The Methodist Church. Mm-hmm.
Physically helped build it, or financially, or both?
I think both.
When was that, approximately?
I suppose, I'm not really sure.
I don't know the time frame of it. I mean, was it before the 1950s or after the 50s?
Oh, early, late 1800s.
Late 1800s, okay.
Yeah.
Name on the pew, is that... any of the pews have family names on them or in that particular church? I know that used to be a custom.
No, but some of the stained glass windows have family names on them.
So on the winter side, what had the family lived in town and had a grocery store? Others, cousins lived on the ranch.
On ranches.
Mm-hmm. And the grocery store got sold, but the winters are still ag people.
Yes. And there are several winter ranches out in Ion Valley. Searcy is part of the winter family. Another winter cousin lives on the original ranch. Andrew Winter Ranch,
and
where the family settled.
And where is that original ranch?
In Ion Valley. The Dutchkeys are part of the Winter family.
Okay. Any other common names that we hear that are part of the Winter family?
Basically, Searcy and Dutchke.
How about the virus side? What local relationships were formed here?
Well, let's see. One of Fran's sisters married a Pantle. One sister married a Spinetti. Another sister married a Robbins.
And the brothers married locally, or?
Mm-hmm. Some of them locally.
Not a Cuneo in the bunch.
No. Well, a relative is a Cuneo. One of Fran's father's sisters married a Cuneo.
Okay. I know, it's kind of a joke with me. There's so many people of so many common names. All right. So you moved to Jackson, and Fran was teaching at Jackson High School. Over the years, when you came originally back to Jackson, what kind of social life did you have? What was the you knew people, obviously.
Social activities involved the school.
Okay.
Fran coached, and he coached basketball, football, baseball. So. He was coaching. I was sitting in the bleachers with three small children. Basically, that's all we had time for. And at that time, there was ladies' group 1830 Club, which all the ladies belonged to, which was fun.
Why don't you tell me about the 1830 Club? I saw that somewhere. And I was a little bit that it had to do with Dietert Park. There was a relationship between the 1830 Club and Dietert Park. So let's start with the 1830 Club. What was that? What's the name mean?
Well, I think there were, and I don't know because before it was formed, before we moved to Jackson, but. I think it was just a group of young ladies who decided they needed to become connected, and they were committed for improvement for in Jackson and did fundraisers and started doing things to help develop the community.
And you had to be between 18 and 30 to belong?
Originally.
Okay.
But as they all approached 30, they decided that they were too young to retire, and so they kept the name, but the ladies continued well on, and that organization functioned for many years.
And so it was a philanthropic organization, raised money for a variety of things.
Yes.
Anything particular, or do they focus on things for the school, or for what?
Oh, many things for the community. And they did a lot of work, helped develop Dietrich Park. And I know Fran helped them in designing areas and expanding the park. So they were very active and a fine bunch of ladies.
So this took place in the late 50s, early 60s that you were involved in
50s,
this?
50s, 60s.
So what did Dietrich Park look like then, when before it got expanded? What was there? Just the grass area where there's trees now? And that was
Grass area. City Fathers built that swimming pool. And so I think the ladies helped monetarily with money for that. And the playground, I know they bought playground equipment.
At about this time was the baseball field, since we're talking now in 2013, had just been redone. Imey Field. At the time, the 1830 Club was working, raising funds. Was that just a plain dirt area then?
I think so.
So Fran helped lay out the ball fields and the tennis court in terms of the design.
Yes.
And then a lot of different organizations must have participated.
Oh, yes.
Doing the funding there. What sport did you like best? Did you like?
Oh.
You were sitting in the bleachers.
I don't know. I really liked them all. I just always felt that that's where I needed to be and be with him. Oftentimes I say our children were born on the bleachers because I was always there.
So what sport did he like best? Did he have a favorite, football, basketball, or baseball?
I think he liked them all. He really did. And he was a very good coach. I think he coached for 11 years and had 14 championship teams.
Across all three of those sports.
Yes.
He was a Sacramento Bees Coach of the Year or something, was he not,
yes,
at one time?
Yes. I think 1961.
When he began teaching at Jackson High School, do you recall how many staff were there? How many students were there in the school?
Well, I could get the yearbook and you could count them.
roughly.
Shall I get the yearbook?
Sure.
I have them all.
I'll just put this on pause. Well, let's take the first one, 1951.
Danilovich was principal. Nine in 53. think. Faculty page.
Nine again.
One, two.
So Mr. Vira, listed on the faculty page, is mechanical drawing, industrial arts, football, and baseball. The so being a teacher at Jackson High School, or being a wife of a teacher at Jackson High School, was essentially more than a full-time job.
Well, it was. Because with the athletics, and it involved a lot of night participation for the teachers, and everybody had a job to do.
Everybody knew the teachers, and the teachers knew everybody. It's a very small community anyway. Did you feel trapped on occasions?
Never. We were very involved with parents, and if there was a problem with the student, the teacher had no problem calling the parent, and the parents were very cooperative. There was nothing that was done behind the scene. Everything was up front. And Fran was a very upfront person.
Started off as an industrial arts and math teacher. And in how many years was it before you became the principal superintendent? A relatively short time.
Ten years, maybe. Became principal, and then in about 3 years became superintendent. He was superintendent for 21 years.
The and the reason for his fast rise would be attributed to what?
His dedication, he was a man of men.
Was it?
He was highly respected. Students didn't always feel that way, but I think parents respected him.
The school board was the one who made the decision, obviously, to hire him from a teacher to a principal. There was no interim in between. Was he just went from teacher to principal, or was there? And they didn't have no at that time. They didn't have counselors, right?
No. Yeah. Everybody had a job to do, and they just did your job.
Was there any discussion about becoming an administrator? Was that an exciting part of your life to know that was an opportunity, or had he thought about moving from here and being an administrator someplace else in terms of a job seeking, so to speak?
He had opportunities. But he always felt this was home, and this is where he really wanted to stay, raise his family.
As a superintendent, now, you then became a teacher at some point in time out in Plymouth. How long had Fran been the superintendent before you became a teacher?
Gosh. Maybe 6 or 7 years.
And how long did you teach then?
I ended up teaching 25 years, kindergarten in Plymouth, which was the love of my life. I enjoyed every minute of it.
How was school life in Plymouth different than school life in Ione? When you were a student in Ione versus being a teacher in Plymouth, what did you notice any changes? It wasn't a one-room schoolhouse in Plymouth.
Well, I was in the small schoolhouse on Shenandoah Road. We had two classrooms. Kindergarten and first grade were housed there. And every day the bus would take first graders to the cafeteria for lunch at the main school.
So the students got picked up at school, driven to a different school for lunch, and then brought back.
Brought back. Mm-hmm.
And you taught in that same school for
25 years.
Mm-hmm. And that was always part of the which school district then? The Ione School District?
No. I guess it was in Sutter Creek. I don't know. In the late 50s, these one-room schools began to be closed. And there was a Shenandoah Valley schoolhouse. There was another Pigeon Creek. Those schools began to be closed and the children were brought in to Plymouth.
So the students came to your school.
But they were, yeah.
And then those smaller schools unified either into Ione or into Sutter Creek,
they were under,
or into Jackson.
They were in
slowly,
Sutter Creek.
Slowly, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then for those people who are listening, at some point, you probably recall the year, all three of those school districts unified as
1983. We unified the whole county.
And Fran was involved in, was a superintendent at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now there was some difficulty. There were issues. That wasn't always a popular idea to unify that way. Would that be a fair statement?
Right. There were always, as always, two sides, for and against. And he was very much in favor of unification. He just thought that if we unified, we could have the opportunity to offer more for our children.
So he was in the center of that unification, being superintendent at the
mm-hmm.
time. And that that meant that Ione no longer had a high school, but that essentially, in Sutter Creek and Ione. Now, Argonaut High School obviously is the newest high school. What did Fran have to do with Argonaut High School?
Oh, he actually created that school. The property, he had a lot of criticism for that, but this property was 40 acres and it belonged to Babe Gavarini, and he was very willing and agreed and sold the property to Jackson Unified. Fran felt that someday we would need more buildings and another school. And I know he received a lot of criticism for that because many people felt that was too far out of town. A piece of property out there was just way beyond necessity. And Fran had a vision that we would certainly need it. And as of now, I think he felt that 40 acres even wasn't enough for all the ball fields, and with all the girls' athletics now, that they needed more room.
There's some disparity between Amador High School and Argonaut High School, as I think there always is in terms of facilities when you build a new high school. It takes a lot of money to get a school started. Did he ever talk about improving, shall we say, Argonaut's athletic facilities, a facility that's actually named after your husband now?
Oh, yeah.
So his foresight got that property, and under him, the districts unified. Two very great, large achievements for a small area. But then he retired.
Well, 32 years in education, and he made the statement, and he was very much for unification. And he always said, if unification passes, he said, I will retire. 32 years is enough for me.
So if he was listing or you were listing his accomplishments, unification would be a big one?
He was very much for it. And it did not really turn out as he had hoped. But he still supported unification.
So in what way did it not turn out?
No, there were some issues in getting the schools together and personnel. Many things that he would have done differently, but so be it.
So, just for clarity, he was the superintendent when unification took place.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he had made up his mind that if unification passes, he would retire and give someone else the opportunity. He would not seek the superintendency for it.
Was that a political decision to some degree?
His decision. He needed some time. He was beginning to think of what he was going to do when he retired. He was ready to retire, and he wanted to go in the cattle business. So that was on his mind. He wanted to retire, and that was his plan.
Did unification change anything for you as a teacher out in Plymouth?
No, not really.
The staff remained the same, the rules remained the same, the pay remained the same.
Yeah.
Nothing changed. So how did you, how did the family adopt to ranching then?
Oh, he moved right into it. He was ready to love his cows. He left his second career with raising cattle.
Are you thirsty? You want to start watering?
I'm fine, thank you.
You sure?
I'm positive, yeah.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Good. Good. I'm good.
That's okay. We'll take it out. No problem. With these digital recorders,
yeah,
everything is easily removed. You know, just move a little button and that's it. So.
Yeah, he was ready to become the cattleman, raise Black Angus cow-calf operation.
It's probably not kosher to ask, but I mean, how many head of cattle was he running at the time when you were he had his largest?
Well, he and his brother did this together until his brother passed, but we had a good size operation, maybe 150. Maybe close to 200.
And obviously, it was a business or a hobby, or a combination of both?
Actually, it was started out as a hobby, but became more of a business. And we acquired another ranch in Fiddletown. So
after 32 years in education, how many years were you in the cattle business before you actually retired again?
Probably 25 years.
What were some of the big issues in running a cattle business in Amador County? What, anything in particular that was a problem that made it difficult, made it easy? Where did the cattle graze in the summertime? Different than in the winter?
No, we grazed them year round on our property. We rented other properties and would move them from pasture to pasture.
Some have talked about, you know, where they grazed in the summertime, took them up Highway 88 and took them up to the...
No, we did not do that. We kept them at home. He became very active in Farm Bureau.
Now, there was a political nature to your husband. At some point, he got involved in local politics. Was that was he still actively in the cattle business then, or had he retired from that?
Well, we were active in cattle, but shortly, I don't know, 3 or 4 years after he retired, he was elected to city council, which he enjoyed, but basically, it didn't turn out the way he had anticipated and had his plan in his mind. He felt he had a lot of knowledge that he could share and help the city, but some things happened along the way and it didn't turn out as he had hoped. He was disappointed in his tenure.
How many years did he serve on the city council?
One term or two? I don't remember.
I'm not sure either.
I'm not sure. But I'm not really sure at this time.
Your had a question. Now I can't think of it. So what changes in Jackson over the years are you most disappointed in?
Disappointed?
Maybe nothing, but much has changed in Jackson since you moved here,
uh-huh.
And certainly since you grew up in the county. You've seen a lot of changes. Are there some that you don't approve of, so to speak, or you wish they hadn't happened, or you know, has it become too big? Has it become?
Growth is inevitable. I don't know. Change. I don't dwell on disappointments. The only disappointment I have is the fact I lost my husband.
Understood. Main Street Jackson obviously has changed over the years. It's probably hard to recall. I mean, I've only been here 20 years, and it's changed many times. You know, businesses have come and gone. So, and I'm sure that it did over the years as you were growing up and as you were newly married in Jackson as well. What was your favorite store on Main Street, Jackson, when you moved to town?
Gosh. Well, I don't know. I think the 5, 10, 15 cent store was the place I would frequent the most.
Is that the one that in the Krabbenhof building? Is that where that was located?
Oh, Woodbury's. That was a wonderful store. I would frequent that too for fabrics. The 5, 10, 15 cent store was. I think there's a little conglomerate of three or four little stores. Where the 5 and 10 was. I don't know. And down the street from Angie's.
Right.
Or the cleaners. Down past there.
Good times at the Wells Fargo and the National as you were younger?
Not really.
No.
You did not frequent those places.
So Main Street was kind of off limits?
No.
It's
just something we didn't do. It was not our custom.
What was a night out in the town for the Vira family?
A football game. Friday night there was a football game or basketball game every Friday night. Saturday night was with the family, I guess. Sunday, see the parents, grandparents. We were very low-key.
So Sundays were spent at Grandma's house for dinner?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was a large family. Did everybody go to Grandma's for dinner?
No, not everybody, but there was always several there.
That was pretty common occurrence. I mean, that was mm-hmm. It was my family. That's after church we went to Grandma's. So.
Played cards. Friends' family was a card-oriented family. They
favorite card game was
Canasta, Pinochle. They loved their cards. rainy days when the kids were growing up, they all played cards.
Change the subject. This property is a fairly large property on top of this hill. When you bought it, what kind of neighborhood was it? Were there many of these houses here then, or were you out in the country, so to speak?
This property was part of this house next to us. And then they split it, and then we acquired this. The house on the corner, Molinelli's, that house was there. This was all vacant. There were houses on Borman along that street. And Everett Davis. Yes, but none of the other houses.
So did you ever have
a couple of these? They were built at the same time that we were building. Galettes were building. Chaffetz were building. But
you loved horses when you were younger. Did you have horses when you were an adult?
No. Had the children.
Had a big ranch with a lot of cattle and no horses.
No. No dogs. No horses. He had to pick up and blow the horn and talk to his cows, and they would all follow him because they know they were going to get fed if he came along.
So if the only question that I asked you was, what's your favorite memory of living in Jackson, what would it involve? Besides your loving husband and family.
Going to the games. The athletic games. I mean, every Friday night. That was life.
So after Fran became a superintendent or a principal when he wasn't a coach.
We still went to
the games.
Every Friday night.
And after he retired, did he just walk away from it, or did you still go on occasion? The big game.
Well, occasions, but basically we started playing cards on Friday night. And that sort of consumed us. And I think he did that for me because he would love to have gone to a game every Friday night.
Well, this interview isn't about me, but I remember having been responsible for going to games every Friday night. And at some point that just became, you know, it was nice not to have to do that.
No, he would have gone, but we started playing bridge, and I think for me, he did that, and he never complained, and he never said, why don't we go to a game?
Well, I'm sure he was pretty proud of having the field named after him.
Yeah, it was an honor.
Well, I thank you very much for sharing your time with us at
thank you.
Living History Program, and we will put this up and
I don't know.
Let others listen to your life.
He was a very special man.
I thought so, and many other people did as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, June.